Welcome to episode 1354 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. There is a moment in Matthew's gospel when Jesus does something extraordinary. He gathers his disciples and says,
"Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you."
Jesus is giving his followers authority. He is empowering them to act in his name, baptize in his name, teach in his name, represent his authority to the world. But just before this, Jesus says something that clarifies what this authority actually is.
"All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go."
Jesus emphasizes, "All authority belongs to me." And then, "Go in that authority." Jesus is not giving his followers independent authority. He is inviting us to participate in his authority, to act as his representatives, to wield power on his behalf. This is what it means to have the power to act in God's name. We are given authority, but that authority is not ours. It is God's authority entrusted to us. And with that trust comes profound accountability. When we are given authority to act in God's name, we are being entrusted with something sacred. We are being given the power to represent God to others, to speak God's word, to make decisions that affect people's lives, to bind and loose on God's behalf. Jesus says to Peter,
"I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven."
This is extraordinary language. Peter is being given the power to bind and loose, to make authoritative decisions about what is permitted and what is forbidden. And Jesus is saying, "What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." Your decisions have cosmic significance. But notice, this authority is given by Jesus for his purposes. It is not Peter's authority. It is authority delegated by Jesus to be used in his name and for his kingdom. The same principle applies when Jesus sends out his disciples.
"As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give."
Jesus gives them authority to heal and cast out demons. But he also says, "Freely you have received, freely give." The authority is a gift. It is not to be used for personal gain or status. It is to be used for the kingdom's purposes. But with authority comes accountability. Listen to what Jesus says to those who misuse their authority.
"The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Everything they do is done for people to see. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues."
The religious leaders have been given authority. They sit in Moses' seat, meaning they have been given the responsibility to teach and interpret God's law. But they are misusing that authority, using it for personal status and honor instead of for God's purposes. And Jesus says,
"Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces."
Those who have been given authority to guide people to God are actually preventing people from entering the kingdom. They are misusing their authority to harm rather than to help. This is the gravity of having authority to act in God's name. You can either use it to advance God's purposes or to subvert them. You can either use it to serve others or to serve yourself. And the consequences of misuse are severe. Paul takes this seriously. He writes to Timothy,
"Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a way worthy of full respect."
Paul is describing the qualities required of someone who holds authority in the church. Why such high standards? Because authority is a trust. Because those who hold authority are representing God. Because how they live affects the credibility of the gospel. The Apostle James expresses this sentiment.
"Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly."
Teachers will be judged more strictly because they have been given authority to shape people's understanding of God. That authority is sacred. It comes with accountability. But here is something remarkable. Jesus reframes what authority actually is. When the disciples are arguing about who is the greatest, Jesus says,
"You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Jesus is redefining authority. In the world's understanding, authority means power over others. Authority means being served. Authority means status and honor. But in God's understanding, authority means service, the power to serve others. It is humility, self-giving. Jesus demonstrates this by washing his disciples' feet. The one with ultimate authority chooses to serve in the most humbling way possible. He washes feet. And then he tells his disciples, "If you have authority, use it to serve. If you represent me, do so through service." Having authority to act in God's name is not a privilege that exempts you from sacrifice. It is a calling that demands sacrifice. Listen to what Paul writes about his own apostolic authority.
"I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have labored and toiled, and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked."
Paul has been given authority as an apostle, but that authority has cost him dearly. He has suffered imprisonment, beating, shipwreck, hunger, and cold. Because he understands authority in God's name is not a position of privilege. It is a calling that demands self-sacrifice. What authority have you been given? And are you using it faithfully? This question applies far more broadly than we might think. You may not be a pastor or teacher or official leader, but you have been given authority in various spheres of life. If you are a parent, you have authority over your children. Are you using that authority to serve them and guide them toward God? Or are you misusing it for control or personal gratification? If you are a supervisor or manager, you have authority over those you oversee. Are you using that authority to serve their development and flourishing? Or are you using it for personal advancement? If you speak about God, whether in formal settings or in conversation, you have authority in people's understanding of God. Are you using that authority to point people toward truth? Or are you misusing it to justify your own agenda? If you have influence, social media following, professional platform, respect in your community, you have authority. Are you using that authority to serve God's purposes? Or are you using it to serve yourself? The third commandment, "Do not take the Lord's name in vain," applies directly to those who have been given authority to act in God's name. It means, do not abuse the trust. Do not misuse the power. Do not represent God falsely. Having authority in God's name is a sacred trust. It is an invitation to serve. It is a calling to sacrifice. It is a responsibility to represent God truthfully. When you use the authority you have been given to serve God's purposes, to help others, to advance the kingdom, you honor God's name. You strengthen the credibility of the gospel. You become a window through which others can see God. But when you misuse that authority, when you use it for personal gain, when you abuse the trust, when you represent God falsely, you damage God's name. You undermine the gospel. You become a stumbling block to those looking for God. The stakes are high. The accountability is real. But so is the privilege to be entrusted with power to act in God's name, to represent God to others, to advance God's kingdom. Use that authority wisely. Use it humbly. Use it faithfully. Use it in service. Use it in sacrifice. Father, help us see the authority we have been given. Help us understand that any power we hold is a sacred trust, not a possession. Help us use whatever authority we have, as parents, leaders, teachers, friends, to serve your purposes, not our own. Help us remember that authority comes with accountability. Help us use our influence to point people toward you, not toward ourselves. Help us represent you faithfully. Help us be worthy of the trust you have placed in us. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,